It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, and all over this great state of Michigan. And hope your Saturday's off to a good start. Spring has sprung, and we're warm outside. Barbecue Bob is doing some family work in the UP. I guess he's got a uncle or cousin or something that had passed, so they're having a memorial up there. So sitting in with me is Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliance. Morning, Brad.
Good morning. How are we doing this morning?
You know what? We're really good because you fed us. I mean, this is prettier than anything than we've ever had brought in as a token of love like this is. This is crazy. Part of the show you'll see today is Brad is a forager, and I'll let him explain what that really is later in the show, or maybe even right now.
Not to be confused with Foreigner, which is a band and someone not from this country.
That's right. But if you were, you'd get here free, and we'd give you everything.
Everything, so, yeah.
Right.
I want it all.
So where I'm going with this is Brad is a forager, and what we're going to talk about probably in a couple segments is the fact that he can walk through the woods, unlike anybody else I know, and just look around and find things that are edible that probably 99% of us would walk by or step on or just not even notice was there, right?
Well, and we like to tease in the foraging world, everything is edible at least one time.
Right,
so it's making sure you're grabbing the things that you can eat more than once.
Right.
So, and we'll talk a little bit about that today as well, but something I'm passionate
about. So tell
me,
tell the listeners what you brought us, because I'm going to take another bite of it.
Please, go ahead. There's lots of cheese in there, by the way, too, so gear cheese. So today I brought in a wild ramp or wild leek egg dish or quiche, if you want to say. And ramps are in full bloom right now. And when I say full bloom, a wild ramp is basically a kind of a cross between an onion and garlic. So it's got great flavor. We like to say it's great for a trailside nibble, which just means that you can eat the leaves of the plant raw. But they do have a small bulb, and the more the plant grows, the little bit larger the bulb gets. One thing I would like to point out, as we got a lot of beautiful parks around here, it is actually against the law for you to go into a local park and pick or procure wild ramps. But there's plenty on private property all over the place as well. So just
what about like state land, if you were on public state land?
Any type of state land. Now, mushrooms you can actually pick off state land.
We'll do those later, yep.
Yep. And now, then again, you can't sell them unless you have a license. You have to be licensed through the state of Michigan. You have to go to a course for Michigan State University to be able to sell them. But mushrooms you can pick. However, plants like leeks, flowers, stuff like that, it is actually against the law to take them off the state land. And I just had a bunch of Facebook posts. They were actually writing some tickets for this down around the Detroit area. So just be aware or make sure no one's watching you. But outside of that, it's a great, easy one for someone that's new to wanting to get out in the woods to forage up. It's hard to mistake it, especially once you pick it and smell it. You're going to smell garlic, you're going to smell onions, and it's a broadleaf plant. It's going to go for about another 4 to 5 weeks, and then it will be gone for the rest of the year. Kind of like morel mushrooms and a lot of the other things out there, they come and go pretty quickly.
So, When you're walking through the woods, you've got pieces of this on there that appears to be the leaves, and you said there's a bulb. It's a bulb would then be below ground.
Correct.
It wouldn't be above ground.
Yep. Just like an onion plant would, and when I'm out in the woods, I tend not to carry around like a little shovel. A lot of times I'll just use a little stick and kind of work around the base. Now, if you come up to a patch of ramps here, what we're talking about, I don't say to take out the entire patch. Till they get a good fruiting body on them and they're sizable, it can take 6 to 7 years.
Oh,
so we always say, hey, since they're normally in swaths, there's a lot of them when you find them, you know, take a couple bulbs out, grab a bulb here or there. Otherwise we get a lot of people that won't take the bulbs and they'll just actually take the greens, which are a delicious portion.
I'm
a big caramelized bulb kind of guy on these. But yeah, don't over harvest. It's the same thing when you go mushroom picking, and that's a tough part when we have people, especially when it comes into morel season. Everybody grabs everything they see.
Right.
And it just doesn't help to replenish them, so you can pick out a spot and that maybe you've been coming to for years and years and years, and all of a sudden they're not there anymore because someone was so scared if they didn't take everything, someone else was going to take it.
Right.
And we always say, you know, take 30%, leave the rest.
Right. So this quiche dish, it clearly has the greens on it because you so artistically arranged them,
placed
on the
them
top,
on top yes,
of
yes.
the quiche. And you said there's some in it as well. Now, does this have the bulb in it as well,
yep,
or no?
Correct. So this has part of the leaves and the bulb, which I actually diced up, and I just sauteed them in a little bit of butter. Like I said, a lot of Gruyere cheese, some heavy cream, and then eggs, little nutmeg, a little salt and pepper, and a pie crust. I mean, it's a pretty easy dish to make. 40 minutes at 375. It's amazing.
It is. I mean, it's fantastic. And it's really easy on the eye.
It's easy on the eye.
I mean, it's pretty. You'd serve this at a brunch or something, you know, and people would really enjoy this.
Well,
I mean, it's fantastic.
And we were just teasing a little bit. You know, I thought about sneaking some other animal meats into here, but we forewent that this go round just to make something a little safer for everybody involved.
Well, yeah, because you brought it in at the beginning of the show, and we'd have lost Conrad for the whole show if we would have had
he'd be in the bathroom throwing up.
Right, if we'd have put squirrel in it or some other thing like we've done in the past. But so I had thinking about this show after you so kindly agreed to join me. I foraged in my backyard. I have scallions. That come up.
Yep, wild onions.
Right, yeah. And I went back there, and I just started, you know, they're the long, skinny, tubular, you know, that grows, right? And I just go back there and grab a couple of them, and I eat them right off. You know, you got to be careful that they're the ones that are up off the ground so the dogs haven't, you know, gone there. But at the end of the day, I went back and picked a couple, and I just ate them, right? Yep. I mean, they're wonderful, but similar to these ramps is that these are a little spicy a little bit, but they're garlic and oniony at the same time. So I'm sure it's the same family.
See, I think it's the allium or alum family is what it's a part of. So here's a little piece of advice to listeners out there. If you want to go out and forage, the biggest thing I can tell you is please, whatever you do, don't go onto Facebook and ask advice. I am a member of a ton of different pages on Facebook, and the information that people put out there is just horrible on everything. There are a lot of online resources, books people can read to educate yourself, but unfortunately, people online like to give advice when they have absolutely no clue what they're talking about. and I'm like,
it's worth what you pay for,
if,
right?
If I'm trusting my health, or you know, if I'm going to drop over dead from eating something, I'm sure not going to take the advice from someone that has no idea what they're talking about.
And you really don't know because they act like they do.
Absolutely. And it's just correction after correction. There's this time of the year, as we're getting into, you know, I've mentioned morels a couple times. There's also the false morel or Gyromitra family. And there's one out there called Gyromitra esculenta. Sorry, it doesn't really have a quote-unquote common name, but people have been calling them beefsteaks left and right online. Oh, beefsteaks. It's always my grandpa used to eat these all the time. Well, they're a poisonous mushroom. Now, that being said, they can be parboiled like three separate times where you change out the water, and then they can be fried up, and they can be rather tasty. However, they contain a substance called geometrin, which is basically in rocket fuel, and it can build up in your body, and it can cause horrible gastronomical upset. It hasn't been known to kill anybody in the U.S. at this point. There's been talk, but it can make people really sick. And everybody online calls it a beefsteak mushroom. And actually, there's a polypore mushroom, which actually goes by the name, common name of beefsteak. So it's just horrible information out there, and nobody knows what they're talking about. So I always tell people, be safe. There's a ton of online resources. Please use them.
So, and they're pictured. I mean, that would be the indicator for me is I think I'd want my phone with me, and if I don't have service where I'm foraging, I better download some stuff because these things you just talked about that look like a morel, but they're not really a morel, and there could be bad consequences from eating those versus the ones that you're really looking for.
Absolutely, and it only takes a couple minutes, and even when I start foraging something new that I'm not used to, I check with a couple people that I know. I watch videos then about it, and then we're good to go. I feel safe. And then I start with a little and move on from there.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to continue this conversation because I think it's fascinating. And Brad's really not as much of a nerd as he sounds like. He's a great guy, but stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at MillbrookTack.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the body, we'll bring the smoke.
Welcome back, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob is out this week, and we've got Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliance. But really, Brad is a super knowledgeable guy. And this is the time of year when a lot of us will go in the woods and look for morel mushrooms. And Brad is in the smartest guy I know about foraging in the woods. So Brad, what I want to do is pick up where we left off, and that is, it is morel season. It's coming on us. You know, when it warms up and you've got moisture, that creates mushrooms in the woods. Give us a couple places, not physically, but like, where do you find those typically in like the setting?
The GPS coordinates to Bob and Bob's house is. So the biggest thing with morel mushrooms is waiting for the weather to get warm enough. So basically what you need is a soil temperature of 50 degrees for them to start growing. So normally south-facing slopes that get good sunshine are going to be the first place they start popping. Now, they have a lot of relationships with trees as well. So basically within certain trees, especially dying trees, not dead trees, but dying trees, and you'll find elm trees, apple trees, black cherry trees are all some of the places that morels love to be around. And again, as those trees start to die, they release different things into the soil that work really well with the mycorrhizal features of morel mushrooms. So think of the mycorrhizal as basically the root system, if you will, to a mushroom. And they have a lot of, I just want to use the technical term, saprophytic relationships. A lot of mushrooms have saprophytic relationships where they'll grow on only certain kind of trees or grow around certain trees because they're pulling nutrients off that tree. We were just talking about how I was a dork earlier. By the way, I have a Facebook page of my own called Butterflies, Moths, and Caterpillars of Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe,
a little bit.
Well, I'll give you that, though, but hey, you know what? You're a wealth of knowledge, buddy, and this is why I like you here, because there's a lot of the tomfoolery that happens on this show every week, and every once in a while, we got to dial it in and maybe teach these listeners a little bit.
A little something.
And that's why you're here, because you know that's not what I'm doing.
So what you're going to find with morels, and one of the biggest things you'll find with morels is when you find them, they're one of what we'd call a beginner mushroom where they're pretty easy to identify. That's why it always kills me with the Gyromitra species. They're kind of similar looking, but I think people get so excited at this time of the year that they're seeing a mushroom pop up in the ground. It's kind of wrinkly looking. It actually, in my opinion, looks like a brain, but morels will be hollow on the inside, up the stem. Now, there are also Verpa species that are called half-free morels that, you know, again, just look online. And all morels and all mushrooms, for that example, they're not like the white button mushrooms that you're buying at the grocery store. Right. Portobello's. You want to cook them all. Morel mushrooms will make you sick as well if you eat them raw. You have to cook them, and it removes a little bit of toxicity from the plant. Now, again, there's always someone out there, well, my grandpa's uncle's first cousin used to eat them raw all the time.
Yep.
You do whatever the heck you want.
Right.
Just don't say that I told you what to do.
Right.
Because I don't want to be responsible for the medical bills.
So they're hard to find. They grow in the same place every year, and then they may scatter a little bit. My family, I haven't picked a morel mushroom in 20 years, but when I was growing up, we did because my dad was really into it and it was something I could do with him.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
But he was always, when he picked them, he had them in like a mesh bag.
Mm-hmm.
So that the spores?
Correct. The spores can distribute as you're walking out.
Okay.
Now again, the spores, of the mushroom, which is how they reproduce, there's some pluses and minuses to that as well, because you can have your mesh bag, but if they're not falling on the right type of soil, nothing's going to happen.
I see.
So when I do find morels, which seems to be very far and few, because the season, at least the beginning of the season, is pretty short here.
About when? Are we close?
They've been coming up for about the last 2 weeks. Blacks and half-free morels tend to be the first ones that we see coming up around here. And as we progress into
West Michigan.
Okay, yep, yeah. I've seen posts throughout the state. As we proceed, there will be some different Morchella species or morel species that will start to pop. Some of the larger ones, those are the ones that are easier to find. So the black morels and a lot of those right now, I mean, you might see them, they're an inch and a half, 2 inches tall. Well, when you've got a ton of leaf litter on the ground, it kind of makes them hard to see. Now, there's always some sucker that walks into like some patch of 200, and I just sit and mumble under my breath very angrily because
right.
I walk in the woods a lot. My beautiful daughters, Alexis and Riley, they like to come with me, and we'll go out for a walk, hike, and I'm just, my eyes don't look at like the trees. My eyes are like fixed on the ground everywhere I go because I'm always looking for something, whether it's an insect or something that I can eat. That's just the way I'm wired. But it's amazing when you're looking around what you'll find. Oyster mushrooms right now still out there, especially after we get rain. Exidia resizer or Exidia species, which is a jelly fungus, which I store up and I put into soups, which is just, again, something cool that not everybody does, but taking advantage. You know, you get so many people in Michigan that go out and deer hunt or turkey hunt.
Right.
We're in spring turkey season right now, or maybe they small game hunt. Well, this is just a way that you can go out in the woods all the time, enjoy the woods, and still be hunting for something that might not have the same cholesterol level that the meat that you're harvesting is. And
yeah.
For all the doctors out there, it's not too bad to get some greens in you.
Right.
And they supply a lot of nutrients that you don't find anywhere else in the natural kingdom. So a lot of the mushrooms out there have a lot of anti-cancerous, things that go along with them. So they're not only, fun to find, they're delicious to eat, but they have some health benefits as well.
So from a layman's side, it seemed like that when my mom and dad, or my dad specifically, we'd go out and we'd get morels, we'd come back and my mom would soak them in water. So is there a cleaning process we need to do? I'm not saying hers was right, but that was just what I remember.
There's an area of contention with all these guys and gals that hunt mushrooms. And a lot of people will say, don't soak them in water. It can make mushrooms slimy. But a lot of people will use a little brush, like almost like a paintbrush, to clean off any dirt or debris off mushrooms. I will soak sometimes. I will cut the mushrooms in half a lot of the times because you'd be amazed how many snails, slugs find their way into the middle of the mushrooms. And I just like to find that and pick that out before I eat them. But
Sounds good. I think I'd like
delicious.
That too.
Jeremetra corfi, which is one of that group that
she lived next
about.
Door to me when I was
Did
growing
you?
Up.
I'd like to meet her.
Right.
And Jeremetra brunea are two both semi-edible species. When I say semi-edible, I always parboil them at least once before I eat them because there is talk that there might be some toxicity to them. But those are ones that they have a lot of folds and creases in them, so bugs get in them pretty easy. Morel's not so bad. Oyster mushrooms, not so bad. Chicken of the woods, hen of the woods. I mean, all those mushrooms that are pretty staple around this area. You want to clean them well, whether it's doing a soak in some water or taking a brush. Just make sure you're getting the dirt out of them.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to chew on dirt when you're eating something.
Well, yeah.
A little crispy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Who would, right?
Yeah.
So, let's talk about, we found them. We're fortunate enough. We've got a... got them cleaned up now. So
butter
in the next butter. In the next segment. What I want to do is besides this wonderful quiche, I'm interested in how you use the variety of mushrooms and what kind of dishes that you make. Are you eating them by themselves, or are you always integrating them into some other recipes? And maybe we could touch on a couple of those.
Absolutely.
All right. You're listening to Grilling Guys. We're foraging for things to talk about, and it seems that we've come up with some great stuff. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Now hit me. Oh, yeah. The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys. Conrad told me over the break that we might want to lighten this up a little bit. We're having a two segment of science experiment here, but I tell you what, when you get Brad in the room, you want to take advantage of him, especially this time of year. There's so much cool stuff going on outside, and Brad's the guy that knows more about it than anybody else I know. So
this is why we start out with like a whiskey tasting,
right?
Or, you know, maybe some beers. It loosens up the tongue a little bit.
Right. Here, so. Yeah. You'll be fine. You that was me leading you through this, and you did exactly what I wanted you to do. We only got two listeners left out there, though, well, enjoy yourselves. But anyway, so Brad, we'll wrap that up. Okay. We found them. We got them. They're not going to kill us. They're cleaned. What are we going to do with them? I mean, is it just butter and flour like my mom used to do?
I do a lot of butter, flour. With steaks, you can put them in a quiche. I mean, they can be an accent about everything. It's not too technical. There are so many great recipes online, of course. But normally when I get them, since it's such an extra treat and I just want the flavor of the mushroom, I tend to fry them up in butter.
Right.
Sometimes I'll do a little flour for crunch. However, I just, the nutty flavor of a morel mushroom is just spectacular. So I try not to coat it up too bad. I like doing them with a little venison steak. I like them actually with a little rabbit as well. I think it adds nicely to rabbit. I won't tell you what I'm having next week for woodchuck.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to bring some in to Comrade here. Conrad's going to get some woodchuck. He's going to love it.
You know what?
How much woodchuck would a...
Would a Conrad upchuck?
Tis that time. There's no season on woodchuck. So,
right. Yep.
Yeah. The one thing I always want to tell people is
ground chuck. I got ground it. Chuck. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The one thing, if you find a seven leaf kind of glossy plant in the woods, now that it's legal, just make sure to, you know, email over us where the location is so we can make sure it's not an invasive plant growing in the woods. If you catch my drift,
yeah.
We just passed the date of 420 not too long ago.
Yes,
so
we did.
All our listeners out there, you got it.
Exactly.
Lightening the mood here a little
right.
bit.
Right. Yeah, we would have had we had found some of that, right? But
lightening the
right.
mood.
Right. So other than being an expert at foraging, you're in the appliance business with our friends at Garrett's Appliance, longtime sponsor of the show. We so appreciate them and you making time to come over here. But what are you seeing that's new this year for the backyard? Many people this time of year are looking to maybe upgrade their game a little bit, and there's a lot of things out there. You guys have high quality tools and equipment that are on outdoor kitchens, and I think that that's okay. I think it's really good because there's a whole market out there you guys wouldn't be doing as well as you're doing. So. What do you see? Anything cool that's out this year?
Cool stuff. Oh, yeah. There's cool stuff. Pizza ovens is the big hitter right now.
Okay.
Lots of people doing pizza ovens. And, you know, a couple years ago, minus the ones that you can get online for, you know, a couple $100. People have been putting the built-in pizza ovens or large pizza ovens, which get very, very pricey for clients. We just came out with a new brand. We got it here this past week. They have one called the Rock Box. It's Gourney pizza ovens. They start at $499, go up to about $2,000. So their Rock Box, which is a portable pizza oven, can be hooked up to gas, propane, if you will. It comes with an extension for that. Gets up to about 950 degrees on the inside, well insulated, comes with a pizza paddle. You know, so $500, you're walking out with a portable pizza oven.
And is it like 12 inches, 16 inches?
You can get up to a 12-inch pizza into it.
Okay.
And then when you go up to the larger sizes, of course, bigger pizzas, you will also find that at that $499 price point, you can get a accessory where you can actually do it as a wood. They have a wood insert to go into there as well.
Oh, like so the firebox, take out the gas and put the
wood in there. You got it.
Put the wood in
there. You can put the wood in there. Built-in pizza oven, still really popular. We just made a major change in our, what I'll call our nice Americanized style built grills. And I say Americanized style built grills. We're parting ways a little bit with Weber. And we're going to Broil King now.
Okay.
And the reason why is Broil King actually used to build Weber grills back in the day. And
so it's American made.
So they're between Indiana and Canada is okay. Where everything is made with Broil King. But they have a series, kind of their second up series that goes by the name of the Baron, which has the craziest warranty I've ever seen at a realistic price point. So the Baron's going to start at about $699. Lifetime warranty, of course, on the cast aluminum box.
Right.
15-year, top to bottom. Igniters, wheels, grates, 15 years.
Wow.
Top to bottom. And wow. Starting at, you know, that $699 price point, you can get a right. Well-appointed one at $999, four burners with a side burner. I mean, you just can't beat it. I had my old Weber Class C for like 20-some years, and it's basically the same manufacturer. So that's kind of the direction we're going for a person looking for just a great grill without spending a ton of money. And, of course, we get into kind of the next step up, which are going to be some of your built-in or, you know, your heavy-duty stainless steel grills. Well, we have...
And that'd be just like the grill head usually.
Correct, yep. And you can get an insulated jacket. You can get outdoor sinks, outdoor refrigerators, you know, stainless steel cabinets. And that's going to be in like our artisan and alfresco lines, which are coming more out of that California type area.
Uh-huh.
We do have a brand by the name of Coyote, which makes some really cool stuff as well. We do have some griddles available. So griddles
probably better ones than those Blackstones that I bought to fill a void at a cookout.
Yeah, so,
right. That was very affordable, but you got what you paid for.
Exactly. So we're getting a little bit into the griddle market, and you know, just all kinds of grilling stuff. We got some new displays on. So swing by the showroom. We'd love to talk to you about them. You can twist my ear. I'm happy to listen or give some advice on, you know, size that you're looking for. I think so many people get hung up in BTUs that they think they need, which, you know, it doesn't matter how big the BTU is, as long as you're using it the right way. You know, there's a lot of talk about indirect cooking that I'm always happy to kind of walk people through. The cool thing with grilling is basically you got your outside kitchen now that you can do so many different things. Traeger's still pretty hot out there, you know, the wood pellet type grills. But there's just so much to see out there, and we've got a ton of it on our showroom floor.
So if I walk in and I say I want a new gas grill for my deck, which is what the majority of people have, their first grill is a gas grill. What are the two or three questions you're going to ask me to determine where you want to steer me? X of price, because everybody's got a budget. But when you said how big, how many BTUs, that kind of stuff, just let's role play that a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, when you come in, the first thing I ask for is your credit card, because you don't tend to pay your bills.
Right.
but my first question is going to be, you know, how many people are you grilling for?
Great,
you know,
great.
You know, is it just you and your wife?
So I say generally there's two or three of us, but sometimes I like to throw the party where there might be,
the 10
out there.
You know, because when it's normally just a couple people, we normally say a two-burner, three-burner grill. You know, a three-burner grill is going to get you if you have, you know, 6 to 8 people over, you're doing a dinner party, family's coming over for Mother's Day, you want to grill up some burgers, whatever you're doing. Say you've got a larger family, but you're entertaining a lot. You've got a lake house, you love to entertain. Then I'm going to bump you anywhere from a 3 to 5 burner grill, depending on, you know, what size family and how big of entertaining you're doing. Now, the thing people don't tend to understand is they always want to, oh, I need the biggest grill out there. Well, you got to remember, the bigger the grill, the more area you have to heat up, the more gas you're going to be burning through. And if you're only filling it a third of the way all the time, why would you want a huge grill?
It
just doesn't make a
ton of
sense.
For the one or two times a year that you might have 10 or 12 people, just take a little more time, enjoy their company, and grill twice.
Absolutely.
Rather than making sure you have all that capacity there.
Second thing is, you know, when you're doing your grilling, are you thinking about using a side burner? Because, you know, side burners come on or off a lot of grills. And a side burner is a great thing. If you're doing a big thing of corn and you don't want to heat up your kitchen during the summer, or you're doing broccoli, you're sauteing up something that's going to be kind of smelly. Well, it's a great way to do your mushrooms outside.
Right.
Maybe you're frying up some leeks. I'll tell you what, my house smells like garlic and onion horribly right now.
Right.
But those are some of the things. You had a side burner on. And then, of course, the biggest thing to me is talking about the warranty of a grill. Anybody can go to a Home Depot or Lowe's and get a grill for $200 that's going to rot away after, you know, a season or two. The burners are all out. And it's like, you know what? Let's talk about the warranty. Let's talk about how the manufacturer is going to stand behind the product, because I don't want you to have to come in every 2 years and buy a grill. I understand it might be a couple $100 less, but when you're throwing $250, $300 at a grill every 2 to 3 years because everything's rusted out, that's not a good investment either.
Yeah. Great advice. Coming up next, we're going to finish this conversation. We might even talk a little bit about something we've grilled this last couple of weeks. We usually start with that, and we could end with it. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a ton. If you've tuned in for the entire show, thanks for putting up with us.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a dork.
No. But Barbecue Bob is out this week, so Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliance, but more just Brad Ensing and his wealth of knowledge about foraging in the woods and appliances, two things that are near and dear to me because one generates food to eat and the other one uses the equipment on how to prepare it. So right up my alley. But anyway, let's change gears a little bit. I did see that you got a new pontoon.
Oh, No, a tri-tune.
Oh, yes, right.
The sport tri-tune.
Let me get it right.
After shopping for a boat for 3 years, we finally got our new pool toy, if you will, for our place up north. So it has been a long, sorted process. We have gone shopping, and I hate shopping so many times for a boat. So we are the proud owners of a new tri-tune with a 200-horse motor on it.
Holy cow.
Yeah, go big or go home. Right?
Yeah, I guess. So let's talk about that. I think that's interesting. You shopped for 3 years. What was the money aside? What was the deciding factors on this particular? I mean, it's personal. I get it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. No, we had started here about 3 years ago because we had an old Playbuoy 20-foot pontoon with a good old 40-horsepower motor that as soon as you're going 2 miles an hour, eat more of that Keith.
I'm going to.
That was so loud when it was run, you couldn't even talk to the person on the other side of the boat. So we'd started looking, then COVID hit.
Well, that's a two-stroke versus four-stroke issue there.
I tell you what, we have a Honda motor on ours now, and it's so funny. I turned that thing on, and the guy delivered it here probably about 3 weeks ago. Turned it on, and I kept cranking the keys, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to turn on the pontoon. He's like, it's running right now. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, we were going out about 35 miles an hour on the pontoon.
Wow.
And it's a big one. We got a 26-footer, tons of seating.
That is a portable patio.
It is rather large, but we were going 35 miles an hour, and I was having a conversation with my wife and kids just like
normal voice.
It was absolutely crazy. Corners amazing. We ended up with a brand by the name of Viaggio that I ended up buying down in Portage.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a ton of looking, and we finally found the right one for our family, and we couldn't be more thrilled to have it. So now we just got to wait for that water to warm up.
Right.
So I can start jumping off skinny dipping in Rogers Pond there. So
yeah, for those of you, you might want to fish somewhere else.
Avoid that area.
Yeah.
And believe me, there are no massive pike out there. So please don't come fishing up by me at all, ever. No fish.
No fish.
Just stay away. I heard Hess Lake is great.
Right.
You go there.
Yeah, I've seen some of the fish you've taken out of there. You're right. There aren't any more.
No.
Right.
Yeah. I did pickled pike this past year.
You did.
I'm going to bring some in over this summer here, and maybe comrade, you going to eat pickled pike?
Oh, I eat pickled anything.
Pickled anything. Oh, you'll love it.
There
it's amazing.
Go.
The bones dissolve out of it.
Oh, here it comes. Go ahead.
No. No, I'm going to let that one slide. We're good.
Obviously, it is something eat pickled you did.
No, that's good.
All right.
I was going to, you know, but he's an easy mark most days. So I just, you know, sometimes I just got to walk away. But so you've got this big pontoon. You can fish off it, obviously. It's probably
absolutely
got all the luxury seats and all the other stuff that you like. The
sonar, GPS plotting. So we're hoping, we actually got a trailer with it as well. So we're hoping to bring it out on Lake Michigan a couple times, maybe up to Torch Lake, because, yeah, I can GPS plot myself out anywhere, follow the path back. So it is crazy what are on. It's not the pontoon boat from 20, 30 years ago,
right,
or even 10 years ago. A lot of these companies are getting crazy and really trying to market to people that maybe don't want just that Mastercraft or Malibu speed boat that you can just ski behind. My kids could ski behind this. They can tube behind it, but I can also go out and party all day long.
Right. I was, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, I wasn't here when Bob was, because I was down walleye fishing in the first week of April there.
Thanks for the invite.
Well, yeah, I know. But I was a guest, and I was on a regular, 21-foot Lund, and we were just three guys out fishing. But every morning, a guy went by with a tri-tune, probably much like yours. It was about 26 foot long, just screaming out across Lake Erie. And I was so jealous because they were all sitting in those comfortable chairs walleye fishing, and I'm sitting on a hard
or
seat.
Bench. Yeah.
Yeah, bench seat, just to fishing. But I was surprised at that thing. He was just ripping out through there. And there were 3-4 foot waves, and he was just cutting through those things like crazy. So
it's crazy. You got guys out there putting 300 horse motors on. We were just at a local place, and they had a 600 horse, if I remember. I took a picture of my wife standing next to it because she looked like a mouse next to this motor. And I think the motor itself was, I think it was like 120 grand for the motor, just the motor.
Wow.
And yeah, you can get crazy on these boats nowadays.
Yeah, but anyway, that's an extreme. But 200 has got to push you around as much as you need to do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. But so anything going on your deck this spring that you're gonna change up, or is the focus the boat?
We do a lot of grilling, a lot of smoking up at the cottage. Just a reminder, everybody, trout season opened up here just this past weekend,
right,
last Saturday in April. So we actually just came back from backpacking with some buddies, Eaton and I is just teasing you, eating a bunch of leeks, wild trout, and dandelion heads. But yeah, we're...
Aren't those a little bitter, the dandelion heads?
No.
Is that the yellow?
The yellow.
Right.
One other quick note. Don't forage in yards that get a lot of pesticides and fertilizers put down. Just a little side note.
But, right.
We do a lot of fish up at the cottage. I've got a couple of just little deep fryers, like Fry Daddy deep fryers, double coating the fish. We do a lot of, invite all the neighbors over and friends up from around the lake, and we do a lot of fish fries. Everybody brings a dish to pass. That's the coolest thing with hunting fish.
Oh, yeah.
Is being able to share, something that normally most people we hang out with up there don't fish at all.
Right.
So I'm like the one where it's like, okay, I got a ton of pike, crappie, panfish that I love sharing that because it's something people don't really get. And when they go to a restaurant and think they're getting perch, they're getting ocean perch. Or, people go to a store or a restaurant and they get venison. Well, they're not eating venison out of Michigan.
Right.
They're eating red deer from overseas because it's against the law to sell wild game. Or barter or trade for wild game as well,
right?
In this country. So it's something that you can give somebody something different. Actually, two summers ago, I fed everybody woodchuck.
Really?
And,
did they know it?
They did. And I was amazed how many people are like, I'm going to give it a try. And how many people came back for seconds? You're like, this is crazy wild. And, you know, it's just something, again, something fun that not everybody's used to. And that's what life's all about, is trying some new things.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I have not had it, but the first time that I'm with you, that's because I don't know where.
Who hunts for woodchuck?
Right. Yeah.
My front yard. Let me tell you what.
Right.
There's a steady stream.
Yeah, you do live in a rural setting, so they're out there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the city, my two labs that are in the backyard are going to keep anything from coming in there. Or if it does, it dashes under the deck, and then, you know, the one digs for it. Like, she's going to catch it, right?
Raccoons. Raccoons will be the next thing on the plate. I've torn that up, but I've heard that almost like a pulled pork, but barbecue-style raccoon like that.
Right.
Is amazing. Huh. Then again, I watched too much Meat Eater with Steve Rinella.
Right.
So it is what it is. I like trying new things.
All right. So, Brad, tell us where Garrett's is located.
Yeah, we got two locations, 2410 28th Street Southwest. That's the location I work out of. And we have our Kentwood showroom, which is 3950 29th Street Southeast Grand Rapids, right next to William's Kitchen and Bath Studio. We'd love to have you folks come in, whether you're looking for, you know, some seasonings, some grilling stuff, or just your kitchen appliances. We're celebrating 75 years of being a family-owned business this year. We really appreciate our customers. I mean, it shows in the years that we've been there.
Right.
We're basically up to fourth generation right now inside the store. Unfortunately, I am not one of those generations.
No, that's all right.
I married into the wrong family, must
right,
be.
Yeah, right.
But we so appreciate our customers, because without them, we couldn't do what we do. We have great customers and great people on our team.
Yeah, and you do. And I've got a personal story that I want to. I needed a water filter for my refrigerator, right? And so I did the dumb thing, is I bought them online. And they were like $35 a piece, and I'm like, well, we're gonna go through them, so I bought a three pack of them.
They leaked, didn't they?
Yes, they did, and they leaked, and they didn't work. And the water dispenser, there was, because evidently there's some sensor in there that knows which is the right filter and the wrong filter, and so I went through two of them, you know, thinking that one was bad, so I threw it away and got another one, and it wasn't working, and I came over to the store. And one of your guys that runs your service department, I gave him a brand and a model, and he's like, oh, this is what you need. He goes, you know what? Here, just give me $20. This one was opened. It was in my truck, and so I'll sell it to you for $20. And I paid $35 online, and it didn't work. And this way I walked back, and it went, bang, it worked.
Do you know water filters at Garrett's are not $20 unless you're very special and your name is Jop.
I think I caught that on a luck. But my point was he knew exactly what I needed, and he took me down the right road.
Absolutely. So.
Anyway, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. A little bit different show today, but Brad, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it, brother.
My pleasure, as always. Thanks
for
having me.
All right, take care. We'll see you next week.